When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I've no doubt that in a perfect world, Kyle Dubas would want Alex Nedeljkovic back almost as much as Ned wants to be back. But this is not a perfect world that's been built here. Good morning to you. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Penguins. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. I'll give Dubas credit for this. In his end of season press conference up in Cranberry last Friday, he was asked about Ned's future with the franchise. And he offered up one of the most candid, open responses you'll ever hear from a sports executive. And I'll play it for you right here in its entirety.
He's an unrestricted free agent. I think he's been very vocal about his views. We, as I said to him yesterday, we have a situation where we have a young goaltender that's also pushing in Joel Blomqvist. We're going to use this next stretch of weeks, the last two games here. He'll play one game this weekend, but then really the playoffs with Wilkes. How does Joel play? Can he assert himself at that level? And then we'll have more information of how we want to go ahead with our goaltending.
So to put background to that, basically what Dubas is saying is that he'd like to have Ned back if he believes that Joel Blomqvist, the team's top goaltending prospect, wouldn't be ready to back up Tristan Jarry next season or even to compete with Jarry for the starting job. I'm reading that one with a little bit of license, meaning that last part. But you don't generally have a prospect, really at any position, and then force them into a situation where they're going to be a backup, because then you're minimizing their playing time, you're slowing their development, and so forth, okay? Now, where Ned is concerned, man, Dubas could have answered that a million different ways and not caused a single eyebrow to get raised. But he chose the honest way, and I'll always admire that. Now, that said, here's the part that he can't and won't say to that scenario. He's stuck with Jarry. He's stuck with Jarry for the remainder of Jarry's five-year, $27 million contract, which still has 4 years to go. He's not going to move that thing. He's not going to be able to pay somebody to take it, meaning to do one of those, you know, we'll pick up X amount of the salary, because then he has to explain to his bosses at Fenway Sports Group why he just wrote up this contract last summer and all of a sudden they're having to eat X percentage of it. He's not going to do that. He's not even going to bring it up. I can promise you that. And the other thing that he's not going to do, if he doesn't have to, is put $8 million or $9 million into the goaltending position, unless he's got $8 million or $9 million worth of goaltending at hand. Now listen, I like Ned a lot, on and off the ice. I can't remember the last time I respected a goaltender around here for his work ethic, for his commitment, for the way teammates love him, other than to go back to Marc-Andre Fleury. That's not to compare Ned to Flower. I'm just talking about in the one specific sense. And it would be wonderful if he's kept. But I don't look at Jarry and Ned and say, yeah, there's $8 or $9 million in goaltending there. That tandem right there. I don't. You can go back to the first 2, even 3 months of this past season, and those guys, to their credit, just to be fair here, were top five in the league as a tandem. principally based on save percentage, but based on other metrics as well. And then they weren't. First, Jari started to slip. Ned came in, got hot. Ned, as we all saw, faded a bit at the end with that crazy stretch of 13 games in a row, understandably. And the cumulative numbers between the two ended up being about average. And you're not going to pay $8 or $9 million for average. The other thing that you don't want to do, and I think this is something that Dubas wouldn't want to state publicly either, is trap Blomqvist. Is to say, hey, there's nowhere for you to go. There's nowhere for you to move up in this organization because we've got one guy signed for 5 years, and let's say that Ned were to get a contract. I'm just going to make this up. I haven't done any research on this, certainly not any reporting. Something in the range of 2 years and, I don't know, $3 million plus. I'm thinking along the lines of what Casey DeSmith was getting, with a little bit more because Ned was able to end the season as a very clear number one. Well, if that happens, then Blomqvist, who was an AHL All-Star, the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins' only All-Star, and he's 22 years old, he's got a bright future ahead of him, but he needs to play, and he needs to advance if and when he's ready to advance. Trapped is the word you're looking for. Dubas is trapped. He trapped himself with that Jari contract. Really did. The best case scenario that Dubas has now is that Jari plays extremely well, becomes richly consistent, becomes the ultimate teammate to the extent that his teammates will talk about him the way they have about Ned. And that'll require one hell of a transformation for somebody who's already guaranteed to get paid a lot of money over a long period of time. It tends to not happen like that in professional sports. Tough, tough situation, but you know what? It sure makes the Calder Cup playoffs worth monitoring, doesn't it? When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Nikolai, who says, DK, if Kyle Dubas loses the locker room with the Jake Guentzel trade and then tells the whole world that Alex Nedeljkovic's run was a, quote, hot goalie, end quote, even if it's just to raise Tristan Jarry's trade value, is Dubas a bad communicator, a bad GM, or both? You know, he's clumsy, I think, at times is the best way to put it. I've now seen and heard enough scenarios with Dubas to believe that he means well in his interactions. They don't always come out just right. He's really, really intense. He's really, really focused on what it is that he's doing. And it feels to me as if when he has to relay any of that to the outside world, well, let's just say he's exactly the type that you would expect to be named team president and then to name himself the general manager, because it's one less conversation he's got to have. Again, not to suggest he isn't talkative or friendly or anything like that. I've found the exact opposite to be true. But it's that he knows what he's thinking. He believes that it's right. And everything else that happens is ancillary. Does that make sense? So even in an extraordinary case like the Jake trade, and again, we're not revisiting for the millionth time the actual trade, just talking about its execution, because that's what you brought up, the execution. One of the things that Dubas did, the Jake trade, that was tremendous was that instead of letting Jake find out about it in some other form, and instead of telling him via text or over the phone, he drove to Jake's house and sat there and relayed to him why it happened, exactly what was going on, what it meant, toward the future and everything else. And it was done face to face. It was done in person. That's really, really cool. You know what he didn't do, Dubas? Never did that with Sid. Now, do you owe that to Sid? You can debate that up, down, and sideways. There are people who will go, I don't have to tell the player anything. Sid's the resident living legend. There are exceptions to this sort of thing. The last time we had a resident living legend as your first line center, he ended up owning the team. But even before he did, you'd kind of talk things over. You know, that when the Penguins picked up Paul Coffey, Tom Barrasso, and so forth, they didn't run it past Mario for his approval, but he didn't find out about it from somewhere else. So that's what I mean when I say it's more about clumsiness than it is any sort of malice. And I don't know if that has anything to do with his having come here from Toronto and the really hyper something. I can't even come up with a proper word for how crazy that atmosphere is up there that he'd have to deal with on a daily basis. Everything here in Pittsburgh, it just, our heart beats a little slower. You know, it's just as passionate. It's more passionate, but it's a little slower, you know? I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Penguins. We're going to do another one of these tomorrow.